Lisa Eastup, how long have you served on the Board of Education?
I am just ending my first term.
And what spurred you to run in the first place? Why did you want to get involved?
Well, we have, my husband and I, we've been married for 27 years, and we have 5 children. All of our children have been educated in the New Hanover County school system. And as we went along in our kids' education, I saw some challenges that our kids in particular were facing. And then through my volunteer work in the schools, I saw other things that I thought, you know, it would be great if we could change this. So it started the seed in my mind, I guess. And then when my kids got a little older, I thought, okay, I think now is the time for me to do this. So it was really my children's experiences, some good, some not so good, that led me to being here.
What were some of the challenges that you observed 4 years ago?
Well, our oldest daughter has learning disabilities, and it was a real challenge to get her educated and to have those who were working with her see her as not only a student, but a person, and a person who deserves a future. I think that too often some of our more vulnerable subgroups get looked at as this is an issue, this is a problem. It's not. These are children. These are people. We have to look at where they're going to be when they step out of our doors forever. What path have we led them towards? So for me, it was getting, you know, I guess more of a collaboration with the community and the school system and the teachers, so everybody could say, hey, here's what the problem is. Here's how we can work towards a solution together. It has to be together. The parents, the educators, the administrators, we all have to work together. Community leaders. It is such a big problem that we are facing. We have more kids who are identified special needs. We have more kids in poverty situations, in single family or single head of household homes. So it's not limited to one subgroup. And we have to look at, okay, what is in their best interest to get them on the pathway to success?
4 years isn't a very long time when you're talking about some of those seemingly intractable problems. But what kind of inroads do you feel that you've made along those lines in this during your first term?
One of the things that I knew about, kind of on the periphery of everything else I was dealing with trying to educate my daughter, was there was a group out there called ACEs. And ACEs, it wasn't called ACEs back then. It had some long, cumbersome name. And it was supposed to be a collaboration between parents, teachers, administrators, and the community, kind of as a go-between to help problem solve. That group was not very active, nor were they very powerful. My first aim coming in was to change that. So now the group is called ACEs, the Advisory Council for Exceptional Students. We are doing parent forums. We are doing a lot more outreach, providing more information. We've built a new website. We've made a lot of inroads. And in fact, we have a forum coming up on March 10th in collaboration with Cape Fear Community College, which I'm very excited about. So it'll be March 10th from 6 to 8 at Union Station. And these parent forums only came about last year, and they've been a great way for parents to go and learn more about. And the format we have, it's called Keep It, Change It, Dream It. So what's working, what's not, what would they like to see going forward? So it's empowering to the parents to come in to a situation that's not as antagonistic as sometimes, you know, parent-teacher meetings can be, full of emotion and energy. What we're hoping from this is that we build a relationship between the administrators, the teachers, the parents, the community. So it can be a bridge. It can be what it's meant to be, to give students the support that they need, because we're really all supposed to be here for the students. So that is one initiative. The other initiative that I'm super excited about is I am co-chairing the working group for bringing a CTE high school here to New Hanover County. CTE stands for Career and Technical Education. And that is another kind of subgroup of student that we were trying to help and support. CTE used to be called vocational education. And that was something I was passionate about coming in to my first term. And so we are just thrilled to know that that the county commissioners are all unanimously supportive of this idea. We've had a lot of outreach from industry, and we're continuing down that path to create this high school, this innovative high school that no place else in the state will have anything that we are going to be developing. So what you will be able to do when you come out of the high school is you will come out with your high school diploma, plus you will come out with credentialing from Cape Fear Community College, who again is partnering with us in this. And I can't say enough for Dr. Lee, who is the head of Cape Fear. She's been amazing to work with. But you will be able to walk out in 4 years and walk right into the working world if you so desire. Or you can go on to further education. But you will walk out not into a minimum wage job, but into a high-paying job in an industry area that needs workers. So this is a very exciting initiative that I'm so thrilled to be a part of.
And just to be clear, this is the same project that a lot of people are referring to as the Votech High School.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. If now, you say that to a CTE teacher, they'll cringe because it's so much more than Votech now.
Can you explain that difference a little bit? I mean, you explain what the acronym stands for, but what is the idea difference between those two things?
And some of it is just kind of a perception. But back when I was going to school, vocational education was much more. It was hands on. It was going into the home ec room and baking biscuits and going into wood shop and doing making a shelf. It's all that on steroids. So when you go in and you make furniture, we happen to offer carpentry, and we haven't quite come out with them. What areas we're going to be partnering in with Cape Fear. But you don't just go and take a saw and make that shelf. You have to know mathematical equations. You have to be able to operate machinery. And so it's so much more that technical piece of every industry is so important now. When you are an electrician, you want to become an electrician, you have to be able to operate very fine machinery. So it is not, it seems like some of these jobs people think, well, you'll go into that because you can't do this. No, you go into that because it's a great job and it's necessary and needed everywhere. This job will always be available and always be something that communities need and want. So that's what we're gearing this school to be, is that go between industry and our schooling and just directing the students to more high interest areas as well. Not everyone wants to sit through 4 years of the regular curriculum. They want a curriculum that's targeted to deal with the area that they want to go do in life. So we'll be able to do that in this high school.
It was the last academic year that there were 6 schools identified as low performing in New Hanover County. Some of those include Rachel Freeman School of Engineering, Gregory School of Math, Science, and Technology, Snipes Academy of Arts and Design. What would you propose to do to improve the performance of these schools?
Well, we actually have already started on a more updated plan to help these schools. The most important piece, I feel, is to make sure that we have a strong head to that school. So having the principal play a major role in all of this is huge, because they decide the culture of that school. The children, the students in those schools are facing, a lot of them are facing issues that it's hard to imagine. When they come off the bus, the baggage that they bring with them because of what they have to face in their daily lives, it's enormous. So we have to figure out a way to reach them and help them put that baggage down for a little while to try to get them educated. That is a big task, because as everybody knows, you can't just put that baggage down. And we're asking the kids to do that so they can focus on on learning. To do that, we're going to have to partner with community organizations. We need to look at increasing our social working, our mental health aids that are in there, because these kids require that. They need that in order to kind of declutter what's going on, to focus on reading, writing, arithmetic, your basics. So what we are trying to do is, again, make sure that we have principals in there that are truly focused on what's happening in the day-to-day world, and partnering with them to figure out, okay, what supports do we need? How can we help you? How can we help these students? Put targeted supports where they are most needed. But also understanding that it is an enormous task ahead of us. And some of our schools are going to the year-round model, and I think that's great, because the drop-off that you see during the summer can be very steep for most of these kids, if not all of them. So shortening that area, that time in the summer, and then giving some built-in time during the year where we can do some targeted remedial work, I think will do a lot to help with that. And we can also kind of keep track of the students a little bit more for a longer period of time. So we did restructure a lot of the supports. That plan went into place at the beginning of the school year. So I'm looking forward to hearing at the end of the school year what the results are from all of that.
It was several years ago that UNC published a study that found 91% of minority communities in New Hanover County have a high poverty elementary school as their closest school. Are neighborhood schools contributing to that? What do you do with that information?
One of the pieces of data that we've been looking at a lot is the data on median income in the county and where those pockets of poverty are. Those pockets of poverty are spreading. And so, yes, we have a lot more than we did 10 years ago, a lot more schools that qualify as Title I or are very close. And Title I, that's a federal term, and those schools get more dollars assigned to them for specific help for these, for being a high poverty school. Yes, it's an issue. It is difficult for a teacher to deal with a classroom of children who all are in high poverty situations. Are neighborhood schools contributing to that? That's a tough one, because in some ways you can concentrate the help when you concentrate the kids in one area. It's also, can I ask a parent in the inner city, do you mind if I bus your kids 20 minutes away, and then vice versa, and then tell you with any certainty that this is going to help your child. The data is inconclusive on that. I love the fact that children can go close to their homes or to their homes, so that, number one, the parents can volunteer. Number two, it's not a long bus ride. Long bus rides are not great for kids, and many studies have shown that. They have to get up earlier. They have to maybe eat earlier. They don't get a complete breakfast. All that contributes to how they're going to do during the day. So that is a question that we have to keep looking at it. We have to keep saying to ourselves, okay, what are the pros and cons of mixing the student population? Can we get the help to them that we need? Does the neighborhood want that? Those in the inner city, do they want their kids either bussed out or a mix? And how can we make that so that we're not forcing anyone to do that if they don't want to? I can't say to a person on the suburbs, well, I need your child to go down to the inner city to save the inner city kids. Or say to the parents in the inner city, we can't do anything with that school down there. We're going to have to bus your kid out. Both of those are a very tough ask. So we need to involve the community and the neighborhoods in this to provide a solution.
What do you see as the function of charter schools in the district?
It's funny, Cape Fear Center for Inquiry, which is one of the larger charter schools in this area, if not the largest, I was on the initial board of that as the treasurer. I helped open that school. And the reason we went to that school was because we thought the inquiry-based approach of education was something that would benefit our children. And it was for two of our kids, and it wasn't for another. So to me, charter schools provide a choice. I would love to partner more closely with the charter schools to see what's working for them, to see if we can't do something in our schools to kind of mimic what they're doing. I see that with the GLOW Academy. I had a chance to go up to New York and see the Young Women's Leading Academy up there, and a phenomenal school, a phenomenal model, and one that I fully support. And I would love to be able to do what they are doing to provide the extra counseling piece to really keep the kids focused on the future. I'd love to partner with them to see what we can do in our schools to kind of imitate what they are doing. So I see charter schools as a, I think that they provide a needed service. I cannot tell a parent, I'm sorry, you can't go to that school. You know, you shouldn't have that choice. I think every parent should have a choice. So I'm fine with the charters. I'd love to partner with them more closely to see how we can help each other.
And how can you do that? Was not one of the first ideas behind the charter school model that certain practices would be experimented with, and then the public school system would be able to draw out some of those practices and implement them in the classrooms?
I think that that was the idea. I think that for some counties, it is like that. I think for our county, for whatever reason, there has been a slightly more antagonistic sort of attitude. Because while a charter school is a public school, the funding is not controlled by us, you know, by the Board of Education. It's not control the what they do with it, the curriculum that they choose. They have more flexibility. So it can cause a little consternation to the regular K-12 system that, hey, you know, they're able to get the results that they get because they don't have to take every student, and they can kind of do what they want with, or, you know, they're a little more flexible with curriculum, which is true, but I don't think it should prevent us from working with them to see, okay, if that curriculum is working for them, maybe we can go to the state board and say, look, we've got a good partnership with this charter school. They're doing this really cool thing over here. We'd love to be able to do that. How can we make that happen? And then vice versa. I think we can learn from each other.
Okay, so queen for a day or a year. You're reelected. You have unlimited resources, a blank check in every way. You don't have to build consensus. What do you want to do?
Can I use magic?
Sure.
My daughter and I had this discussion one time, and I'd say, first of all, everyone would have a dragon. We would have no more cars. Okay. So let's get back to reality. Wow, queen for a day. What I would like to do, and this is not something that I think this is probably pretty controversial, but sometimes I think with our special populations, and again, it's a double-edged sword. I would love to have schools for kids who have special needs, whether they're high poverty, whether they have a learning disability, whether they have an emotional disability, behavioral disability, a place for them to go where they can be successful, where we can keep the class sizes small, we can keep give the teachers adequate resources, give the teachers all the help and support that they need to be able to support these students. I would have, gosh, I would triple the counseling that we have. I would have mental health support. I would increase recess, and I would make the recess meaningful by having, you know, yoga or meditation, starting in the very youngest of ages, because studies have shown that that really does work. So I would completely change the school day and how much academic time we have, and increase more of the sort of structured fun time, I guess I would call it, so that children don't come to look at school as drudgery. I think we can get more done in a shorter period of time if we keep in mind that kids are kids. Let's make some of this fun. It's become so punitive, I think, the education system in some ways with all of the testing and all of the data that we have to collect. And I'm not saying that's not important, but I think we've in some ways lost the ability to just say, hey, it's okay to be a kid. It's okay to run around and scream. Go run around, you know, go do 10 laps and then let's come back and do your spelling. But let's be a little more creative, a little outside the box, because for some of our subgroups, what's in the box isn't working. We have to go outside. We have to explore. And we have to be innovative. So I think increasing the supports, giving the teachers the pay that they deserve, fixing up all of our kind of rundown schools that we don't have the money to rebuild or even repair sometimes, that would be what I would do. And I would still have a dragon.
What is it that only you bring to the Board of Education?
I am the only one with 5 children, and I'm one of 2 who have kids in the school system now. Ms. Koval, who is running for higher office, was the other. And I don't think you can undervalue that. I get every day a chance to talk to 2 people. We have twins who are juniors who sit in the seats and deal with what they deal with. And so that's huge to be able to hear the student perspective every day. And it colors what I hear from, you know, in the board meetings. It gives me an extra perspective. I also volunteer once a week at one of our Title I elementary schools. So I get a chance to go and play with the second graders and hopefully help them with their spelling and their math and their reading. But I think it's just such a great benefit for me because, now that I have older children, I don't get as much of a chance to see that younger group. But I also get to talk to teachers then to, you know, the administrators. And I try to get to all of the schools for a lot of their special events. I am the only one with the experience in the special needs area. That's a big part. It's very confusing thing to wrap your head around, learning disabilities, mental health disabilities. But it's a very important piece of what we're having to deal with these days.
Is there anything about volunteering in a Title I elementary school that has surprised you or that you sometimes think if people could experience this for themselves?
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. Like I said, I'm in a second grade classroom, but there aren't TAs except maybe an hour a day. So you're in a classroom with 20 kids, and some of those kids I'm working with maybe got to school. A few of them got to school before 7 a.m., because that's what time the bus picked them up from the shelter. So we have a population of children who are considered homeless. So I'm sitting here trying to teach somebody their reading, and the student's tired because they got there so early. They may have not have had an adequate enough meal, and they're very sleepy, and they've got a home life that is kind of dismantling around them. So when you see that and you see what and you understand from a firsthand perspective what these students are dealing with and how much more severe it is these days, there's so much more. There's more social media. There are more off ramps for students. I had another student who I was working with him on a Friday, and he said, great, you know, school's almost over. I can go home and stay up all night and play video games. And I started talking to him about the video games he was playing, and a lot of them were kind of violent. And this is a second grader. So those were not around when I was growing up, and I'm making myself sound really old. But I think it's good to recognize the pitfalls that are in front of these students and just the hurdles that they are facing before they even set foot in our doors.
Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you think it's really important people understand about you as a candidate for the school board?
I think that what I bring to the school board is so different than what has been on the board or present in the board for a while. I am not a long-termer. I won't be a long-termer. I don't think it's right that someone beyond any sort of appointed board or elected position, especially not the school board, for a long length of time. Because what happens is you become part of the power structure. You become friends with the people you were supposed to be overseeing. Or you make the mistake of thinking, well, I know what it was like 10, 15 years ago, therefore I know what it's like now. Not true. It's not true at all. You have to be willing to get into the schools, to talk to the teachers, to talk to the students, to talk to the administrators, to really know what's happening to our students right now, because things have changed a lot and they'll continue to change and evolve. And so we are there to set policy. You can't set policy if you don't know what's really going on, because then you take the opinion of somebody else. What I bring is energy. What I bring is enthusiasm. And I bring the perspective of a parent, a coach, a volunteer. And I'm also on, was appointed last July to the State Board of Community Colleges. And that's been a wonderful board to be a part of. I'm a big fan of our community college system. I always have been. And so it's given me a unique ability to again, kind of cast off and look in the future. What can we do to help our students and develop some of those partnerships to allow some pretty cool things to happen, like the CTE High School, like, you know, some new initiatives for our EC students, directing kids to pathways that they may not have already otherwise seen or be able to access. So I would say that is a strength of mine, and I would love to continue the work that I'm doing.
Lisa Estep, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the time.